Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, December the 11th. Another not so beautiful morning in Wisconsin. Take it very easy and give yourself some extra time to maneuver icy roads, especially in the southern part of the state this morning. We are happy to welcome in this hour a former U.S. representative, a former Democrat from the state of Georgia, who is now seeking the Green Party nomination for president. During my recent open line, a listener asked for this conversation, and we are happy to oblige. And it so happens that Green Party candidate Cynthia McKinney is scheduled to be in Wisconsin today seeking support in her candidacy. She'll be in Madison and Milwaukee, and we'll have details on that a little later. We will wonder if she will have your support. What would you like to ask her in order to help you decide? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send your question via email to talk@wpr.org. Cynthia McKinney served as a Democrat in the U.S. House of Representatives from 1993 to 2003, and then again from 2005 to 2007, representing Georgia's 4th Congressional District. She was defeated in the 2006 Democratic primary and quit the Democratic Party in September of 2007, and in October of 2007 filed paperwork with the Federal Elections Commission to create an exploratory committee for a Green Party presidential campaign. And as mentioned, she will be in Wisconsin today, scheduled to be speaking at the state capitol in Madison today at 12:30, room 330 Southwest, and then tonight in Milwaukee on the UW-Milwaukee campus, Bolton Hall, room 150. And she is with us right now via telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
I appreciate your time this morning.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation to be with you this morning.
And you're going
to
visit southern Wisconsin on a very, very icy day. Sorry about that.
Well, now, I'm from, you know, I was born in Georgia, and we're not accustomed to this.
We take a lot of bad weather in Wisconsin, but we've already had our share, and it's not even winter yet, so this is an odd one. Take it easy. Why did you decide to quit the Democratic Party?
Well, basically, I celebrated my birthday on March 17th earlier this year, protesting the war in front of the Pentagon. I don't know if you will recall that there was a huge peace protest in front of the Pentagon. And there I basically discussed the complicity in voting to fund the war of the Democratic leadership in crimes against humanity, crimes against the peace, torture, war crimes. And I also talked about the hope that me, as well as many of the American people, had when they voted a Democratic majority in, that the war would be ended, that financing of the war would be ended, that we could finally have a rollback in the erosion of our civil liberties, so that the Patriot Acts would be repealed, the Secret Evidence Act would be repealed, the Military Tribunals Act could be repealed, that finally we could talk about a livable wage instead of just enacting a minimum wage change, and that basically the decision of the Democratic leadership to support a continuation of the current policies in all of their expressions, including a failure to roll back the Bush tax cuts as well, that I had to declare my independence. And I declared my independence from that because I felt I did not want to feel complicit in the horrible things that are happening right now. I don't want to be complicit in that in any way. In fact, it was Dwight Eisenhower who talked about every dime spent for war and the weapons of war is in a very real sense a theft from our children, from those who are in need, those who need the practical things of life, shelter and food and clothing. And so it was just became very clear to me that our country was really on a path that I could no longer support.
Representative McKinney, we actually have a clip of you speaking at that protest in March in front of the Pentagon.
Well, it seems that George Bush and the Democratic leaders were right. They confidently told us that only the Democrats would fund the surge, but that the Democrats would not stop action in Iran, too. Now we are not surprised when the unelected, illegitimate administration of George Bush ignores us. But we are shocked that the Democratic majority in Congress chose war over us as we say, bring our troops home now.
We will continue talking with Cynthia McKinney and take your questions for her at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. First, we will check our weather forecast. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, December the 11th. We are talking with Cynthia McKinney this hour, a former Democratic U.S. representative who served Georgia's 4th Congressional District. She is seeking the Green Party nomination for president, touring states seeking support. She will be in Wisconsin today, speaking in Madison and Milwaukee. Madison today at 12:30, Milwaukee tonight at 7 p.m. She is with us via telephone this hour to talk with you, to answer your questions about her views on the issues that matter to you. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And we have an open line for you. You can also send your question via email to talk@WPR.org. Let's go right to the phones. Rick in La Crosse is with us. Hi, Rick. You're on the air.
Hi. Very good morning to you, Joy. Good and good morning to you, Cynthia.
Good morning.
I wanted to congratulate you. You did the only thing possible under the circumstances in light of a meretricious Democratic Party that doesn't listen to its constituents. And gosh, all the smear tactics against you and everything, and, you know, for speaking out, I mean, I read, you know, so you did the right thing, you gotta leave that den of, vipers, and now that we read that Pelosi, you know, approved the torture and so did Rockefeller. Well, you know, I'm not, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but like I said, you did the right thing and you got out of that den of vipers.
Well, do you think they're a den of vipers, Cynthia McKinney?
Well, let me just say that the disappointment was huge when I saw the Democratic majority in the Congress without me pass funding for the war by exactly the number of votes required to fund the war, 218 in the House. Had I been there, and I, of course, was the only Democrat to lose in the 2006 election cycle, had I been there to cast my vote, one vote does make a difference, I would have surely voted against the war. And certainly that is why part of the animation of the crossover voting that took place again, for people who have not have not heard how, in fact, I lost in 2002 and 2006. There's a film, American Blackout, that not only talks about my two congressional races, but also talks about the election thefts that took place in 2000 and again in 2004. And in my particular situation in the state of Georgia, we have open primaries. And because of the open primaries, Republicans can show up at the polls on Election Day and participate in the Democratic primary. That's what happened in 2002 by tens of thousands and again in 2006 to defeat me. And it was that defeat then by one vote that led to the Democratic majority in the Congress continuing to fund the war.
Mm-hmm. Talk some about this this story that we're hearing in the news today that Rick alluded to and Nancy Pelosi and the torture tapes, but the story being that the CIA apparently destroyed tapes showing the waterboarding of two terrorism suspects.
Well, of course, before I left the Congress, I filed articles of impeachment against Bush, Cheney, and Secretary Rice. I felt that certainly the failure to protect the American people on September 11th in and of itself was grounds for the filing of such papers, and I did not do it because people in my family feared for my safety and my security if I were to have done so. But after having witnessed not only the failures of this administration to protect the American people physically on September 11th, physically again in Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, financially with respect to the erosion of our economic situation in this country, the outright corruption, the loss of billions of dollars, $21 billion missing from the Iraq reconstruction funding. Of course, Secretary Rumsfeld admitting that $2.3 trillion were missing from the overall Pentagon budget. The continuation of the funding at $500 billion a clip. A Department of Defense that loses that kind of money is absolutely mind-boggling to me. And then the erosion of our civil liberties, the purposeful spying on American citizens despite the law, and obstruction of the law, and then in every instance when we tried to understand just exactly what was happening, there was obstruction, there was obfuscation, and in some cases, there were outright lies. Leading up to the war is an example of that. So impeachment is the course, is an appropriate course for accountability. Mm-hmm. And certainly, we are not surprised by anything this administration will do in the future because we have suffered as a result of what this administration and those complicit with it have done in the past.
What do you hope to accomplish, Cynthia McKinney, in running for the Green Party nomination for president?
Basically, this is a statement of the hope that I still have and the faith that I still have in the people of this country and in my country. As a child of the civil rights movement, I am a direct beneficiary of the activism and the hope and the demand for dignity of people, black and white, who ventured into the South and wanted democracy in the South as well as in other parts of our country. My father was a protester across our country for the passage of the Voting Rights Act as well as the Civil Rights Act. Now, many of those protests, he took me along. So, of course, I've seen the Klan in their full regalia in Alabama. I have sat in hotels trying to make sure that the Civil Rights Act became the law of the land. But I remember also that the spark was of young people. Young people who faced the dogs, the water hoses, were lynched. Four young people, university students in Greensboro, North Carolina, sat in, and they remained there until they were served. And so young people are able to have a vision of this country, act on that vision, and achieve success and victory. So I am hopeful that we will spark the kind of movement that will bring people together, bring people of all religions and races and languages, bring everyone who is a part of the human rainbow together with a single vision of what our country can become, and the knowledge that if we join together in concerted action with unity of purpose and mission, that we can succeed. We've succeeded in the past, and of course I know that we can succeed in the future. There are some specific goals as well for the Green Party, because of course I have to get to know more members of the Green Party. There are people who are members of the Green Party who have always supported me. From the time that I served in the Georgia legislature, there were members of the Green Party who supported me. And then when I infuriated the good old boys down in Georgia by speaking out against George Herbert Walker Bush's war in Iraq, my colleagues got up and walked out on me. Mm-hmm. But that's when more members of the Green Party began to notice me. And then when I went to Congress, members of the Green Party participated in all of my elections. So this is a natural transition, I believe, for me, from thinking green and living green to actually becoming a green.
Let me get another caller in. Colette in River Falls. Good morning.
I am very angry and upset with the Green Party. If we're without the Green Party, splitting the party in the last, splitting the liberal, pulling the liberal Democrats and skimming them off, we would be trying to replace Al Gore now instead of George Bush.
Yeah, what about, we only have a few minutes before a news break. Cynthia McKinney, what about that concern?
Well, you know, a lot of people have chosen to believe the myth rather than to accept the facts. And unfortunately, the facts have not been accepted because the facts generally are not known. But because of the work of the people, for example, who produced the film American Blackout, because of the great investigative journalism of Greg Palast, and because, quite frankly, of my work while I was in the Congress, there are some facts that need to be known. First of all, there were 1 million black people across our country in 2000 who went to the polls and they voted. They voted their hopes, their dreams, their aspirations, and their votes weren't counted. That is what spoiled our opportunity to have a representative of the will of the American voter in office. Secondly, in Florida itself, where nearly 100% of the black registered voters actually showed up on Election Day and voted, approximately 70,000 of those votes were not counted.
Right.
That spoiled our result.
We'll talk more with Cynthia McKinney, Green Party candidate for president, after we check the latest news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. A former Democratic U.S. representative serving Georgia's 4th Congressional District, now seeking the Green nomination. We're welcoming your questions for her after the news. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 7:36 now on this Tuesday, December the 11th. It's a slick ride for commuters in southern Wisconsin this morning. An ice storm is making travel difficult, and it's closed down some major school districts, including Milwaukee, Waukesha, West Bend, Racine, Kenosha, Hartford, Germantown, and many others in south central Wisconsin as well. 11 counties under advisories, watches, or severe weather warnings. The freezing drizzle and light snow could continue into this evening in the far southern part of the state, even as bitter cold pushes into Wisconsin. It's quite a day for a visit from a Green Party presidential candidate, one from Georgia to boot. We are talking with Cynthia McKinney, a former Democratic U.S. representative serving Georgia's 4th Congressional District, who is now running for the Green Party nomination for president. She is scheduled to speak today in Madison at the state capitol at 12:30, room 330 Southwest. She's also going to be speaking in Milwaukee tonight at the UW-Milwaukee at Bolton Hall, room 150. That's at 7 o'clock. And a fundraiser will follow at Espresso Christoff on Downer Avenue. More information, all things CynthiaMcKinney.com. She is with us this hour to talk with you about her presidential bid and to answer your questions about the issues important to you at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890 or talk at WPR.org. Don in Wisconsin Rapids is with us next. Hi, Don. You're on the air.
Yeah, Joy. Thanks for taking my call. Representative McKinney, my question is a quick couple of questions. Question number one is, if you are to win the Green Party nomination, what are the two most important things to you that you see the country, that you take the country in terms of solving the problems?
Yeah, that's a good question, since there's two there, Don. Let's leave it there. Representative McKinney?
Thank you very much. And I do want to continue with the response that I have. And, Don, I will answer your question as well. With the allegation that the Green Party and and Ralph Nader's actual participation in the democratic process somehow are responsible for George W. Bush being in the White House. Let me just say quickly, though, that I join the caller in her anger, but I'm angry that blacks were disfranchised. I'm angry that Republicans conspired to deny blacks the right to vote, as we now know with the construction of the convicted felons list that had 90,000 names on it of people who were not convicted felons but in too many cases were denied the right to vote. And I'm also angry that the Democrats didn't fight for the victory that the voters gave to them. I would certainly never blame anyone for participating in the political process. That's ostensibly why we are in Iraq today, to provide for participation of Iraqis in their own political process. Of course, we know that's not the real reason, but that's what we've been told. We have to make sure that we also have integrity in our own democratic process. And our former president said that there was not enough integrity in the process for him through the Carter Center to even verify that the elections in the United States were free and fair. So I would ask people to please do their research and think about the facts. Think about the million black people across this country who went to the polls and voted. Think about the how they might feel to learn that their votes were not counted. Think about those whose votes were obstructed in other kinds of ways and who faced the intimidation, the roadblocks down in the battleground state of Florida, again, with what happened in Ohio and the line, some people waiting as long as 6 hours to vote because the distribution of the voting machines was skewed to discourage blacks in black majority precincts from voting. Yeah. That is intentional behavior on the part of those who are in control and authority with the purpose of skewing the outcome of the election. And certainly, a political party that gets 9 out of 10 black votes ought to fight for the integrity of those votes.
Yeah, you don't. Now, and we'll get to Don's question in a minute. But since it's here, you're not afraid that your name on the ballot might take away votes from, say, Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, and result in a Republican being elected next fall?
I am afraid when people don't participate in the process. And I certainly hope that more people will participate in the process. And I hope that the message of the Green Party, of living its values and voting its values, will be heard in every nook and cranny of America, in all of our states, and in all of our communities, and all of our neighborhoods. Because right now, of course, with the news this morning, with the economic downturn, the American people need hope. And in some communities, hope is a rare, an extremely rare commodity. And those people are the people who have been marginalized and alienated. Those are the people whose voice we must hear. They deserve to be heard. They also deserve to be confronted so that maybe a little bit of the despair and the hopelessness can turn into hope. So to the extent that we can carry a new message to a new set of people who perhaps are feeling alienated and dispossessed of their rights, that's a good thing for America. And I would certainly hope that no one would ever say that taking a message of hope mm-hmm. to people who are hopeless, taking a message of what our country can be when in the face of what our country has been to them, is something that is wrong.
Mm-hmm. What are the two most important issues that you think face the country today?
Well, the news today with the discussion of the economic downturn, the economic condition of our country has eroded by over $22 trillion, according to David Walker at the General Accountability Office, since George Bush became the president. And the national debt is estimated to be a whopping $53 trillion. Clearly, we've got to get our economic house in order. We've got to end the militarism. We've got to stand for more than just war. War cannot be our energy policy. War cannot be something that we do is done in our name with our tax dollars on a credit card, of course, because it's not actually being paid for, and instead of the uplift that our country can provide not only its own people but the rest of the world. The American people need jobs. They need jobs, and we can have jobs, and we can have manufacturing jobs right here in this country. We can have good construction jobs, jobs that manufacture green technology so people don't have to have heating bills, high heating bills in the wintertime. Of course, in some parts of our country, it's the opposite situation, is that it's so hot, and we need to have an alternative to air conditioning bills. But today, I'm in Madison, Wisconsin, and it is extremely cold, and I think about the people who have these high energy bills for heating.
Yeah, and Wade in Milwaukee poses our next question. Hi, Wade.
Hi. My question is regarding the savings rate and the consumption level, and I guess it goes to what you were just talking about. But it seems to me that that most of the problems, the solution is to reduce our consumption and increase our savings rate for the bottom 85%. And just let me just say one thing. I know that when we reduce our consumption, you know, business activity level will go down, which means there's going to be less demand for labor, which means there's going to be fewer jobs. But we can offset that by just having households work fewer hours and sharing the remaining jobs amongst ourselves. Yeah. And I'm just wondering, I haven't heard anything from anybody, including Green Party leaders, about what to do about the overconsumption and the extremely poor savings rate in this country, and I'm wondering what you would do about it.
Well, first of all, a good economy and people who are gainfully employed is, I believe, the best solution for the lack of savings that we're experiencing today. Of course, we also need to have a redirection in some of these attitudes about spending and consumption. But as I was saying, we don't have to say that we will experience fewer jobs, because during the course of my tenure in Congress, what I learned was there's a tremendous amount of jobs in recreation instead of destroying, clear-cutting mm-hmm. our national forest. There's a tremendous amount of jobs out there in cleaning up the military bases. And, in fact, one of the fights that I was engaged in was trying to stop tritium production at Savannah Riverside, because what we learned was that there were far more jobs in cleaning up the facility than in tritium production.
I'm afraid I have to jump in once again because it's time for an important scheduled weather break, and we'll be back right after this. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Cynthia McKinney, Green Party candidate for president, a former U.S. representative, a Democrat serving Georgia's 4th Congressional District in Wisconsin today for appearances in Madison at 12:30 at the state capitol and in Milwaukee tonight at 7 o'clock at Bolton Hall on the UW-Milwaukee campus with a fundraiser to follow in Milwaukee at Espresso Christoff on Downer Avenue. She is here to answer your questions and to talk with you about her candidacy. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And I apologize, Representative McKinney, you were talking about green jobs when we had that weather break.
Absolutely. And I do want to also mention, with respect to Don's question, that I believe a clear-cut break with our past militarism is absolutely necessary. And therefore, when I was in Congress, I supported the establishment of a Department of Peace. And I think it's very important that we actually name a department that whose mission it would be to go out and spread peace among people. The two most important of the 10 key values I believe the Greens have is, one, respect for diversity and the diversity of the human rainbow. The second very important value is respect for our planet. And so we have to reorient our policies, we have to reorient our thinking, we have to retool our economy, so that we are actually respectful of people and providing in any way that we can for their dignity. And at the same time, we have to respect our planet, the Mother Earth that sustains us. Obviously, if we don't do those two things, then we get the kinds of conditions in terms of the economic, the environmental deterioration, including global warming that we are experiencing now, and this endless cycle of war. Our vice president told us to expect war for the next generation.
Jackie in Chippewa Falls is with us now. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. I just have two quick questions in a hypothetical sense. If you were elected president, number one, how would you handle, what would you do to prevent the abuse of power that was seen when the Republicans went through redistricting Texas to benefit themselves and not their voters or their constituencies? And number two, the issue with the disenfranchised black voters, what would you do as president to prevent that sort of thing?
Thank you, Joy, for asking those two questions. Of course, I've got lots of experience with redistricting from both sides as a member of the Georgia legislature, and I served on the House Reapportionment Committee while I was there during that period during the 1990 census and the redistricting that took place afterwards. That, quite frankly, opened up whole new avenues of opportunity for minority voters across the South, only to see that eroded and dismantled with the initial decision from the Supreme Court of Chavez Reno, and then the second decision that came from the Supreme Court pertained, quite frankly, to the district that I represented in Georgia. It was the Johnson v. Miller case that spoke to the powers of the Department of Justice in actually enforcing the Voting Rights Act and stripped the Department of Justice of certain of its powers of enforcement. So, and I, quite frankly, during my time in the Congress, was redistricted, three, four different times. So I absolutely am aware of redistricting, and redistricting really, while it might be kind of boring to people, it really is the foundation of of the distribution of power in our country. And so we have to pay very close attention to redistricting. And redistricting must be done in a fair manner. I am leery of taking power out of the hands of people because I believe ultimately that American voters do have the power once they believe enough to exercise that power. So there have been some independent commissions set up to do redistricting. I would refrain from that because, as we have seen with independent commissions, rarely are they truly independent. And so I believe that the voters need to retain the power and authority and the last resort for redistricting. I would keep it in the hands of the members of the legislature who are elected by the people. Mm-hmm. Then,
and what would you do to make sure that black voters or anybody else for that matter are not disenfranchised or don't have their votes counted?
You know, what happened in Florida, where secretaries of state and governors, Republican governors, Republican secretaries of state, were acting together to provide lists of people who could not vote in Florida. Well, now, that was not legal because it was done in, first of all, it was done and it was not legal, and then it was not done correctly because the list that were provided, for example, the list that George W. Bush himself provided from Texas was a list of misdemeanors. They were not even convicted felons. There, unfortunately, will be people who will use their power and authority to thwart the right of the voter to express his will and have that vote counted in our process. What we have to do is provide for swift and real enforcement of the laws that punish people who do that. That was not done in 2000, and it was not done in 2004. In fact, it was the exact opposite that was done. As you will recall, particularly those who have seen the film American Blackout, that Katherine Harris testified before the Civil Rights Commission and said that she had no responsibility, and that responsibility had been delegated to others, although she was Secretary of State. When Jeb Bush testified before the commission, he, too, said that he had no responsibility in the carrying out of the Florida election, the Florida 2000 election. And what happened was, in the redistricting, Katherine Harris had a congressional district drawn for her. Mm. She was rewarded with a congressional district for the work that she did to thwart the will of voters, even in her own state of Florida. And at the same time, I was kicked out of a district, of a congressional district, for no reason other than trying to seek justice for people for whom justice has been long denied, trying to find peace, because that ought to be the hallmark of our foreign and military policies, and trying to get to the truth so that the American people can prevent what happened on September 11th of 2001 from ever happening again.
Yeah, we only have a couple of minutes left in the program. Many callers, and I'm afraid not enough time to get to everybody. So let me give you the last 2 minutes. Is there an issue that we haven't discussed during this hour that you think is vitally important to be considered during this presidential race, maybe an issue that would be the first thing you would tackle as president of the United States?
I would like to talk about people voting their hopes. I think we have an international example of people voting their hopes. We must not be afraid to vote our hopes. People in Bolivia were not afraid to vote their hopes. Look at the people of Haiti, who have had their president duly elected in free and transparent elections, stolen from them 2 times. The last time at the end of U.S. weapons put on a plane, destination unknown. And then an attempt was made to steal the election from the will of the Haitian voter by stuffing the ballot box with 86,000 blank ballots. But the Haitian people found out about those 86,000 blank ballots that were blank, but although they were blank, were going to be counted, and they took to the streets and they demanded the right to their democracy, the right to their voice through their vote. And René Préval sits as president of Haiti mm-hmm. today because the Haitian people were not afraid. They voted their hopes, their values, their dreams, and their aspirations. People in Venezuela, yeah. we can go down the list. Yeah. We must vote our hopes and our dreams and our values.
We'll leave it there, and we're happy that you weren't afraid to make it to Wisconsin today on this icy day. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
Cynthia McKinney, Green Party candidate for president in Wisconsin today, but talking about her run for the presidency. More information on her website, allthingsmckinney.com. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.